Kletman.
Yes, sir.
Good morning to you. You may approach, and you may proceed.
May it please the court, my name is Eric Kletman. I am the attorney for the appellant in this immediate case. This case involves basically one issue. It involves a contempt and dealing with restitution that her husband entered into almost 2 years after the divorce. It was criminal restitution for a federal conviction for intent to defraud the United States on some farm service debt. I will focus on pretty much three main issues. The first issue would be that my client was not willfully in violation of the court order. The record is clear that she was working with the Farm Services Agency to resolve that debt. She had made a substantial payment after the divorce by selling property in approximate amount of $75,000. On top of that, during the contempt trial, counsel for the husband stipulated that she was working with FSA and trying to resolve her debt. Besides working with FSA and making payments, with FSA, she was also involved with what's called a mediation program, which is a governmental program instituted by the FSA. That's an offer, counteroffer program, which payments are not received until an offer is accepted. I had made an initial offer, I believe, back in 2014. That payment was rejected and made another offer to sell that debt, and which was pending at the time of the contempt in this immediate case.
Counsel, you're focusing on your client's efforts to manage the payments with the FSA. What about your client's duty to hold harmless?
My client's duty to hold harmless dealt with, she agreed that she should be responsible for the FSA debt. She did not agree to be responsible for criminal restitution, which happened almost 2 years later. She was trying to resolve that FSA debt so nobody would be held liable for that debt through this mediation program.
Let me back up here just a little bit. The framework of this contempt, right, is that your client is in contempt of provisions in a decree or a settlement agreement incorporated in a decree. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And so in order to assess whether or not she is or is not in contempt of those provisions, one would need to see those provisions, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Is the decree in the record?
It is.
And where is that in the record?
I believe, I don't know where it was on, I believe it was part of the record. I don't remember in the transcript what number it was.
Okay. Well, if it's not in the record, what is the court to do? Because that would be the fundamental document of which she is said to be in contempt, right?
Yes, and the property settlement agreement.
Right, incorporated into the decree.
That's correct.
Right. So what is the issue in the case? Well, is that the restitution order by the federal court, is that encompassed in the terms of the decree? Is that a fair statement of the issue?
That would be a fair statement.
Okay,
of the
so
issue.
One would need to know what's in the decree, correct?
That's correct.
One would also need to know what was in the order of the federal court.
That's correct.
Okay, and is the order of the federal court in the record?
I believe, if I remember correctly, is Exhibit 8, which is part of the, was included, was the plea agreement in this immediate case, which it stated what the restitution amount was.
And the restitution amount, it's the plea agreement, but it's not the sentencing agreement, nor is it the judgment of the federal court, correct?
That's correct.
Is the judgment of the federal court in the record?
I believe it is Exhibit 9. It was included in the hearing.
Okay, so if the judgment is not in the record and decree is not in the record, how are we going to make a comparison of whether or not that which was held by the federal court was encompassed and anticipated by the decree?
If I remember right, I believe the decree and the, and I could be wrong, was part of the transcript in this immediate case. The sentencing order of the trial court in this case also indicated what was included with the contempt, or what was included in the decree and
the well, there's decree. A $93,000 figure that everybody's talking about, right?
That's correct.
And do we know what that $93,000 figure is composed of? Is it limited only to FSA arrearages? Does it include a penalty, even a $25 customary penalty in the federal court?
The $93,000 of which was referred to during the trial was, I believe by the testimony of the husband, that that would be the total that could be possibly owed as total restitution. What was part of the record was that $75,000, the $75,000 number was what he actually had paid at that time.
Counsel, at the time your client made the partial payment on this obligation, did she have the ability to pay the entire amount at that time?
No. The record indicated and brought some talk.
Where was she supposed to get the money to do it?
We don't know at that time.
Well, was there anything in the decree in which she was a time limit in which she was to comply and pay this debt off to the FSA?
No. There was absolutely no time limit whatsoever. What listed is that she should be responsible for the FSA debt. And that's all it says.
And hold the other party harmless.
And hold the other party harmless, yes, Your Honor.
And so your point is that she's engaged in a workout with the FSA mediation program, so she's not willfully and contumaciously in defiance of this decree.
That would be correct, Your Honor. She was working through this mediation program, which would resolve all of this FSA debt that was encompassed in this divorce.
Okay, and that knowledge in terms of evidence is through her testimony?
That is, Your Honor. And there was an additional witness of Joanne Hooker, who was participating with Ms. Hartley in working out that program and putting together financial records, balance sheets, cash flows, and other documents needed for that program.
All of which, in your view, is to show that she's working at it.
That's correct.
Whatever it is.
She is. Okay. It hasn't been resolved. In fact, I believe the testimony in the record shows that her ability to work with FSA was hampered by Mr. Hartley's unilateral decisions with his criminal case. She was working with the FSA. She had been working since 2012 with the FSA, been working with the FSA prior to even the divorce being granted in this case. Trying to resolve
well, the case. FSA troubles are not new because he was indicted prior to the divorce judgment.
His initial appearance, I believe, was after the settlement agreement had been signed in this immediate case.
The indictment was prior to the divorce settlement. Is that correct?
The indictment, yes, out of the grand jury came out prior to the case. However, after the settlement agreement had been signed is when his initial appearance came forward with the federal case.
Counsel, do you agree or disagree that these debts are over the same, that the restitution and the amount that your client agreed to pay in the divorce are the same debt?
I would not agree with that statement that they're the same debt. His restitution, the criminal restitution, it's a penalty.
Right, but does it stem from the non-payment of those same two debts owed to the Farm Services Administration that your client agreed to pay?
I cannot say that for sure.
The court made a factual finding that it did.
The court did. I believe Mr. Hartley testified it did. We were not part of the criminal proceedings whatsoever.
Did you offer anything to dispute that the debts are the same, arise from the same circumstance?
I do not believe the record shows that we disputed that they came from the same thing.
The contempt order says they're the same debts of the defendant was ordered to pay in the divorce decree. And so back to my other question is, one would like to compare what was ordered in the decree to that which was ordered by the federal court. And furthermore, that which was ordered by the federal court, one would like to know the components of it, because it could possibly be in real life that it is not consisting the $93,000 solely of FSA debt.
If I remember correctly, I don't know if he had been sentenced by that time. All we had was the plea agreement. That's all we were aware of that listed how much was supposed to be restitution. And the testimony was how much he had paid on that restitution. I believe the testimony showed that in order to even get the plea agreement, go from felonies down to misdemeanors, he had to pay his restitution of $75,000 and change ahead of time. I thank you for your time. We ask that the district court be reversed in this mean case.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Truel, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. Mr. Chief Justice, honorable members of the court, my name is James Truel. I represent the appellant, Mr. Gary Hartley. Let me start out by thanking you for bringing this issue to you right away. It is an issue of first impression, and I think it's something that needs to be decided. I also think that it is not something that can be general in nature because the facts are pretty specific in this case. To give you a time frame,
What is the issue as you see it, sir?
Pardon me, Your Honor?
What is the issue as you see it in this case?
I believe the issue as raised here is whether or not this order of restitution paid against Mr. Hartley by the federal court is something that can not be enforced as a payment under the Hold Harmless Agreement of the divorce decree. That is, what we have is a debt incurred
because why? It's against public policy? Or it's not anticipated by the decree or the settlement agreement qua contract?
As I understand the argument from the appellant, they're arguing that it is against public policy. That's one of the arguments.
Do you think it is against public policy?
No. And the reason I say it's not against public policy is because we have a court of equity that made a determination that Mr. Hartley should be held harmless based upon a mutual stipulation. It's a stipulation that took place and signed on September 12th of 2012 after 2 years of this case being pending in the district court. At the time the case was pending, both parties were aware that Mr. Hartley had used funds from the sale of secured property for domestic purposes that should have been paid to FSA.
Is the decree and the property settlement agreement in the record before this court?
It is my understanding that it is. It's my understanding. I do know that as the divorce progressed, Mr. Hartley's issue with the federal government came to a head, and he was indicted on August 22nd of 2012. So we have both parties knowing that these funds had been used inappropriately. They mutually agreed in September, after the indictment was entered, to the settlement. This plea agreement was not entered into until almost a year and a half later. At that time, Mrs. Hartley had done nothing more than liquidate the farm. That wasn't sufficient to hold Mr. Hartley harmless on the balance. There's still a balance due. Mr. Hartley's restitution order from the federal district court.
Is the restitution order in the record?
It is my understanding that likewise it was asked to be placed in the record.
Do you know how we would identify it? Is it a sentencing order?
It is. It's my understanding that what is in the record is perhaps the plea agreement in which he agreed to pay the restitution in exchange for the reduction to a single misdemeanor from four felons.
Would you agree that the ex-wife has made an attempt to pay this debt off to the FSA?
And I would agree that she has made an attempt. So I have to say that this is an issue of omission. It's much like child support. She's agreed to make sure that Mr. Hartley doesn't have to pay a bill. Now, if she
analogizing it to child support, if
Somebody can't pay child support and is making an attempt to pay child support. A good faith attempt, would the court find him in contempt?
From what I've done in the past, yes. If he has the ability in any way, shape, or form to make a partial payment and doesn't, he's in contempt.
But here she is making an attempt and has made a payment.
In my opinion, she's made only one attempt, and that is the sale of the farm. Her actual
did she also put forward some money that she got from the insurance company on a hail damage claim? Is that a different amount of money?
I'm not sure. What we have is a claim. How do you say this? We have a whole harness. That basically says, in my opinion, that's an indemnity. She has to reimburse. It makes no difference whether she can or can't. If she fails to even make an attempt to reimburse Mr.
Hartley... That's an answer to a different question. My question is, what has she paid?
She has paid, basically, there was left, following the liquidation of the house, something like $126,000. Mr. Hartley's paid $75,000 with a commitment to pay over $17,000 more.
So what has she paid?
My understanding is that she's paid toward the deficiency, the $126,000, approximately only about, I think she testified that she had made arrangements to get a reduction to like $15,000 left. But
so,
that's because...
I'm sorry, so she has paid...
She had not paid that $15,000.
She's paid zero in your view?
As my understanding, since the sale of the house, she's paid nothing.
Okay, do you believe she's engaged in a workout?
The testimony was that she started working out this program following Mr. Hartley's entry of his plea agreement. When FSA knew how much they were going to get from him, they were then willing to discuss with her how to handle the balance of it.
Mm-hmm. And is she, in your view, engaged in good faith in a workout in the FSA mediation program according to their record?
I can't say she worked in good faith because she never made a payment, even though she had the ability to.
Are they exchanging offers? FSA and...
FSA would not extend an offer until the indictment was resolved.
Have the offers been exchanged according to the record?
According to the record, she has made some offers in regards to that, yes. But that's to FSA. The balance due FSA. Mr. Hartley is not seeking restitution on the balance due FSA. He's not seeking to hold her harmless on that. He's seeking to hold his harmless on the $93,000 the district court has ordered him to pay. So what offer has she made to Mr. Hartley? None. She hasn't offered to reimburse Mr. Hartley a dime of the $75,000 that's come out of his pocket already.
Mr. Truitt, your point, I think, is that the negotiations between Mrs. Hartley and the FSA are on the additional amount above and beyond what FSA has either recovered or attempted to recover through
exactly.
The criminal process.
Exactly.
So she's bargaining about her own share of the debt. She isn't bargaining about paying.
She's not bargaining about Mr. Hartley's. He's got a $93,000 obligation. And the only time she began bargaining about Mr. Hartley's is when we took her to contempt of court. And then she's never made an offer because she denies she owes him money.
If it had been a civil judgment but in the federal court against your client, and with this hold harmless out of the dissolution, I don't think we'd have much difficulty dealing with it. But I think it's the criminal aspect of this, criminal restitution.
And that's why, and I understand that, because restitution is viewed in most cases as a penalty. And yet there are exceptions to that. There is an exception where it is a civil administrative action. Even a criminal penalty is enforceable by civil means. Garnishment action by the victim can use that as a judgment to collect a civil judgment, garnish. And so The other issue in regards to that criminal is that it's not something he did alone. All the cases cited are something in which the individual did it by himself without the knowledge of the other spouse. In this case, the other spouse knew what was happening. She was able to take advantage of that in the marital situation. But only Mr. Hartley is obligated because his is the name that appears in the note.
Has there been any attempt to determine what assets she has?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Has there been any attempt to determine what assets she has?
I don't believe so.
Wouldn't that be something you'd be interested in if you were trying to get the money?
Well, and in the long run, I think that...
Having her in jail doesn't do you any good, does it?
I'm sorry, sir.
Having her in jail doesn't do you any good.
No, putting her in jail is not an option. Well, Mr. Hartley just wants to get the indemnification clause exercised. That's what he's looking for.
And what portion of the decree, let me see if I understand this. Your understanding is, or your position would be, that the decree encompasses payments by her of his criminal restitution.
Yes, because that criminal restitution reduced the debt to FSA.
Where is that in the record?
That's her testimony, I believe, where she said the balance due is what she was negotiating was something like $15,000.
And how would we know that the provision in the decree would encompass a criminal restitution order?
All you can see from the decree is the fact that in regards to the balance due FSA, $126,000, that she agreed to hold him harmless for the entire amount.
So the decree has some dollar figures in it, according
yes.
to you.
The numbers are in the decree.
I see. Okay. And in your view, the decree must be in here somewhere.
Yes.
And do you all recall, you were the move-on right here seeking contempt, is that correct?
Yes.
Do you recall making that an exhibit in this record?
I believe, well, I asked the court to take judicial notice of it, yes.
I see.
Yes.
Is it identified in the Bill of Exceptions for us to see?
I believe it was incorporated by the appellate in his request for the transcript.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen, ladies.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. We will go on to the next case of the day.